Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Helping Iowans reach their financial goals is what Iowa banks are all about. Discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks by following Iowa Bankers on Facebook and Twitter.
From Iowa Public Radio, this is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly legislative podcast. I'm John Pimble.
The House will be in order.
The Iowa General Assembly lasts 2 years. As the 88th General Assembly resumes, Speaker of the House Linda Upmeyer gives her final speech as Speaker of the House.
Serving as Speaker of the Iowa House of Representatives has been a tremendous honor, and I am incredibly proud of the work we accomplished together during my tenure.
Upmeyer became the Speaker in 2016. She was the first woman to hold this position. Her father, the late Del Stromer, was also the Speaker of the House in the 1980s.
Someday, God willing, I'll have an opportunity to have a discussion with my dad. I'm sure he will be very proud of what we have accomplished on the behalf of Iowans. I'm also sure that there will be a couple of things where he will say, "Girl, what were you thinking?"
She will continue to serve as a representative and says she will not run again when her term expires this year. Her last act as Speaker is to put in place a successor.
We will now proceed with the election of the Speaker. The Chair recognizes the gentleman from Cedar, Representative Kaufman.
Madam Speaker, I wish to place in nomination the Honorable Patrick Grassley of Butler County as Speaker.
Months ago, Republicans selected Representative Pat Grassley to be the next Speaker. He is the grandson of U.S. Senator and former Iowa legislator Chuck Grassley. The full House must vote for it to be official. A motion is placed by House Minority Leader, Democratic Representative Todd Pritchard.
I move that the Chief Clerk be authorized to cast the votes of all members of the House of Representatives of the 88th General Assembly for the Honorable Patrick Grassley as Speaker.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it, the ayes do have it, and the Honorable Patrick Grassley of Butler County, having received all the votes cast for the office of Speaker of the House of the 88th General Assembly, is hereby duly elected to the office.
Upmeyer swears in Speaker Grassley, places a pin of a gavel on his lapel, hands him a wooden gavel, and then Grassley gives his first speech as Speaker of the House.
It is such an incredible honor and privilege to be up here today, and I am truly humbled to serve you as your speaker in this historic chamber.
36-year-old Speaker Grassley's first session was in 2007. Last year, he was the chair of the Appropriations Committee. This is where the state budget bills come from.
Over the last 9 years, House Republicans have changed the culture of budgeting in Des Moines. Crafting a budget and spending taxpayer money is hard work, as it should be. But I have got to say, House Republicans have often make it look easy, and I'm not just saying that as a former Appropriations Chair. I'm incredibly proud of the discipline and restraint that this caucus has shown over the years in crafting those budgets.
Grassley is a farmer and says he wants to make sure this session is done before its allocated 100 days. He looks to fellow farmer Representative Lee Hine to make his point.
Over the next 100 days, or maybe less if Representative Hine has his way, what's the soil temperature, Lee? You got it measured out yet? Nothing yet? Ground's frozen. Okay. Let's make sure that we show Iowans that we are not like Washington, D.C. Less partisan games, less political theater, more results for Iowans.
Another change in the House is making Representative Matt Windschuttle the majority leader. Like Grassley, Windschuttle's first session was in 2007.
If you'd asked the doe-eyed young freshman who walked into this chamber 14 years ago if I ever thought I would be serving this role, the answer would have been a hard no. I stand here now, though, all these years later, ready to serve the Iowa House Republican Caucus and the great state of Iowa in my role as the House Majority Leader.
For several years, Windschuttle was the House Speaker pro tem, and he often presided over the House, making him a very well-known person in this chamber.
While I could stand here and deliver a message about specific policy pieces that should be accomplished, or go over our budgeting principles again, or give an extensive review of Chapter 724. That's the weapons chapter, for those who don't know. Finally, I got a chuckle from somebody.
In previous years, Windschuttle floor managed bills expanding firearms rights. He's also a proponent of a resolution that would add language about the Second Amendment to the state's constitution.
I guarantee you there is more freedom to be found for our constituents if we only apply ourselves and look. Iowans deserve a government that works for them, not against them. If we as the Iowa House of Representatives hold the principles of freedom and liberty high and use them as the balance and the scales by which we judge the proposals before us, then Iowans will have the state government they need and deserve.
For most of this decade, the House has been led by Republicans. The Democratic minority leader since 2019 is Todd Pritchard. During his opening day remarks, Pritchard talks about wages and child care.
Since a good job is the key to a success for hardworking Iowans, our plan will make sure all Iowans have access to a good job with high wages. We will introduce legislation to help families with the high cost of child care and create more affordable housing.
Representative Pritchard also takes aim at the cost of health care.
Democrats know that our health care system is more unaffordable and less accessible than ever before for many Iowans. We can no longer ignore this issue and crisis in our health care system. That is why we will introduce legislation to make sure health care is accessible and affordable for all Iowans across all parts of the state, urban and rural.
In the Senate, there hasn't been a change in leadership. During his opening day remarks, Senate President Charles Schneider talks about the surplus from last year's fiscal year of $289 million.
In times like this, there's a pressure to spend. While there are places where new investments make sense, it's important for us to remember that we're spending taxpayer dollars. Taxpayers expect us to spend responsibly. And if the state receives more revenue than is necessary to fund generally agreed upon priorities, those same taxpayers expect us to return the surplus to them.
This is an election year for half of the senators and all members of the House of Representatives. In an election year, some seeking re-election tend to be cautious, but President Schneider says that's not the case in the Iowa Senate.
The conventional wisdom among the press corps, political pundits, and even some legislators is that it's not possible to accomplish big things during the session immediately preceding an election. I reject that notion outright.
Schneider says just before the last election, the legislature passed a new tax bill. It was a contentious debate with Democrats. Schneider says there could be more tax changes introduced this year.
The more we can lower income taxes, the sooner Iowans will be able to pay off student loans, buy a home, start a family, save for their children's education, or put aside money for retirement.
Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitfer also indicates there is potential to pass bills reducing income taxes further.
We can continue to do more to simplify and make taxes in Iowa lower, fairer, and more efficient. But the ultimate goal is to ensure that people who work hard for their money are going to keep more of it.
The Democrats' minority leader, Janet Peterson, has concerns about these possible tax changes and says they would come at the expense of providing services.
Iowans don't win when tax cuts go to out-of-state corporate giants and the wealthy, and program cuts go to our public schools and healthcare services. Our budget should put Iowans first, investing in our K-12 public schools, apprenticeships, and job training programs at a rate higher than inflation.
Peterson says there is a crisis with the maternal health system in the state, and it needs help.
We are expecting to see the 35th labor and delivery unit close in our state, and maternal mortality has more than doubled in the past 3 years. This is a crisis we can no longer ignore.
Peterson also speaks about expansion of medical cannabis laws. Soon after her speech on the Senate floor, she talks about looking for guidance on this issue from the governor.
You know, it's time for the governor to lead and let the legislature have some clarity on what direction we can go to get a piece of legislation down to her desk for her to sign. And I believe she should tell us what that will entail early on in session. We have thousands of Iowans who have been waiting months for this legislation to get passed and signed into law. It's time to act.
In 2018, a few dispensaries opened in Iowa. They sell pills, oils, and creams with low amounts of THC. They can only be purchased by someone who suffers from a condition written into law. Last year, the House and Senate made a small expansion to the law, but it was vetoed by the governor. Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitford notes medical marijuana is an issue he often hears about.
It seemed like we heard a lot more 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when it was first getting underway, but there's always changes that people want to make to the program, and that's kind of our job. We've been really inching this program forward and not taking big steps.
Changes to the law also need the blessing of the Iowa Medical Cannabidiol Board, which opposed some of the changes in last year's legislation. Speaker of the House Pat Grassley did vote for the bill last year and is open to expanding the program.
I've been very clear with the caucus that my expectation is that the House, the Senate, the board, and the governor are all working together to find a solution, because obviously whatever we land on, we want to make sure it's something the governor can support.
The proposals are very different from what is now law in the neighboring state, Illinois, where recreational marijuana is available legally. Last year, a new system for children's mental health was implemented, but Senate Minority Leader Janet Peterson says a path to fund it isn't clear.
One of our biggest concerns is making sure that we find a sustainable and substantial funding stream for the children's mental health, but not at the expense of the adult population.
House Minority Leader Todd Pritchard has one idea.
One thing we have to be clear we can't do is make an unfunded mandate on counties and things like that, because that's just going to be a burden shift to property tax owners. And what, you know, there, in my mind, we should look first to the general fund. This is an obligation of the state. The general fund is absolutely appropriate for funding things like mental health and other medical healthcare programs that the state provides comes from general funds.
Next year's state budget is nearly $8 billion. Legislators certainly have their ideas of how to spend it, but first, they take cues from the governor's budget proposal. Governor Kim Reynolds unveils her budget to a room filled with every senator and representative when she delivers her condition of the state.
If you value knowing what's going on in your state, share this podcast with your friends. Make sure to tag Iowa Public Radio on social media and use the hashtag UTGDPod.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Helping Iowans reach their financial goals is what Iowa banks are all about. Discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks by following Iowa Bankers on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Under the Golden Dome from Iowa Public Radio, a weekly legislative podcast. I'm John Pimble.
The committee will escort the Honorable Kim Reynolds to the rostrum.
As required by the Iowa Constitution, the governor must give a condition of the state to the legislature. The event used to be called State of the State. This is where the priorities and budget from the governor's office are presented to all 150 legislators who are gathered in the House of Representatives chamber.
This is the third time that I've stood before you to report on the condition of the state. As always, it's a time to reflect on what we've done over the last year and to lay out a vision for the year to come.
Early in the speech, Governor Reynolds talks about last year's historic flooding that devastated portions of Iowa, including southwest Iowa. The water from the Missouri River in those communities covered much ground when levees broke, and it stayed there for weeks.
As historic floods ravaged both sides of our state and parts in between, entire communities were wiped out as the waters rose and didn't seem to recede. But that devastation was met with purpose and resolve to build and recover.
The governor plans to include more funding for recovery.
The budget I'm submitting today includes an additional $20 million for flood relief.
The governor moves toward taxes, a subject she has waited to fully address until this speech.
In the coming weeks, I'll be introducing the Invest in Iowa Act, a bill that will significantly cut income taxes, create a sustainable funding source for our mental health system, reduce the burden of property taxpayers, and fund the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust.
The Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust was passed by voters in 2010. That trust states it can't be funded until the next sales tax increase, which means for a decade it's been unfunded. The governor is proposing an increase of 1% to the Iowa sales tax.
I have no interest in raising taxes, so any increase in revenue from a sales tax must be more than offset by additional tax cuts. And that starts
She says she wants to cut income tax for most Iowans by 10%. For lower-income Iowans, the cut is 25%.
So let me put that into perspective. Just 1 year ago, our top tax bracket was almost at 9%, one of the worst in the country. Now, with this new round of tax cuts, our top rate will be down to 5.5% by 2023.
She also addresses the funding of mental health, something she says is one of the biggest challenges of our time. Last year, Iowa's first children's mental health system was established, but funding for this and adult programs are often at the local level. Part of her proposed sales tax increase would allocate money to mental health and lessen what counties must pay.
To date, property taxpayers have supplied most of that support through their county to the local mental health regions. I'm proposing, through the Invest in Iowa Act, that we reduce property tax levies and provide the needed funding through the state general fund. No parent, family member, or friend should be told that treatment isn't available for their loved one.
Perhaps the most divisive part of her address is about a topic that is controversial across the country.
As we move into 2020, I'm focused on the overall wellness of all Iowans in every part of the state, in all stages of life. And when I say all stages of life, I mean to include the unborn. We must protect life by making it clear through an amendment that our Constitution does not grant a right to abortion.
The governor's referring to a 2017 law that stated a woman had to wait 72 hours after an initial appointment before she could get an abortion. This law was overturned by the Iowa Supreme Court. The court ruled access to abortion is a fundamental right under the Iowa Constitution.
We must also do more to promote and support maternal health. Fewer doctors and fewer hospitals are delivering babies and providing care for mothers, especially outside the urban areas. That's why I'm taking steps to increase the number of doctors who are willing and able to provide OB services in all four corners of our state.
One of the biggest portions of the budget is K-12 public education, and in recent years, it's been one of the biggest annual debates.
The budget I'm presenting today makes another historic investment, with over $103 million in new funding, so that Iowa schools can maintain the best teachers and classrooms in the world.
This represents a 2.5% increase. Last year, state aid to schools was 2%, but Democrats wanted 3%. When it comes to a person who needs child care in order to go to a job, the governor wants to expand tax credits.
Child care is the next workforce issue we need to tackle. It's another barrier for families looking for a way up. For some, it's about affordability. For others, access is the issue. And for thousands of Iowans, it's both. This year, we need to act. First, let's make child care more affordable by expanding the early childhood tax credits. Currently, they're available to families making $45,000 or less, and I am recommending that be doubled to $90,000.
As Governor Reynolds nears the end of her 45-minute speech, she talks about restoring voting rights for felons.
I am renewing my support to amend our Constitution so that it no longer bars felons from voting after they've served their sentence.
Iowa is the only state not allowing anyone with a felony conviction to vote unless the governor grants a reinstatement request.
I'm grateful to the House for starting this process last year by approving the constitutional amendment with a strong bipartisan vote of 95-2. I also appreciate the productive conversations we're having with senators, and I look forward to continuing to work with you to pass the amendment and craft an implementing statute that lets us avoid the confusion and lawsuits that have plagued other states' restoration efforts.
The governor wants this to be a constitutional amendment and not an executive order, because an executive order can be overturned by a future governor.
So as we move into the next decade, let's put Iowans first. Let's be bold and visionary. Let's seize this opportunity and make the next decade Iowa's best. It's time we show the world that opportunity lives here. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the great state of Iowa. Thank you.
Within minutes of the speech, leaders from the House and Senate react. For most of them, much of this information is new. Senate Minority Leader Janet Peterson says she is glad there is proposed funding for mental health programs. But she says it's too easy to change how much money from a new sales tax could specifically go toward mental health.
You know, we have constitutionally protected our roads. It would be nice to see if we could have something for actually the health of people that we could guarantee Iowans. It's been done before.
The proposed K-12 funding increase to 2.5% is something Peterson likes, but says there are still consequences to recent increases she says were too small.
And if you look at classroom budgets, that's where Republicans have been very, very weak, not keeping up with inflation. Now, the rate that the governor is suggesting this year would be a touch above inflation, but still, we've got a huge hole to fill from all of those years where they have given them such starvation diet budget increases.
The governor's proposed resolution about abortion is something House Minority Leader Todd Pritchard is not surprised to hear.
That's an issue that comes up again and again throughout every year, it seems like. But I don't think you'll see a radical change in our position, something that we support a woman's right to make decisions for herself on her own health care.
Democratic Senator Rob Hoeg is from Cedar Rapids, a community that experienced historic flooding in 2008. Senator Hoeg is glad to hear there is something planned for the 2019 flood relief, especially for Southwest Iowa. But is $20 million more enough?
Oh, no, that's woefully inadequate. When we met as the Flood Mitigation Board on September 16th, there were already $8 million of application from last year that weren't able to be funded. And I just got a report from Homeland Security and Emergency Management that there have been another $130 million in applications for flood recovery assistance. Now, look, I want all the flood recovery efforts to be cost effective. I don't want to be rebuilding levees when it would be just cheaper to pay landowners for permanent flood easements, right? So I don't want us to just spend money to try to restore something that's not sustainable.
For Republican leaders, they are pleased to hear the governor's idea to reduce income taxes and increase the sales tax to 1%. When asked if a sales tax is regressive, Senate President Charles Schneider says...
Two things on that. First of all, compared to other states, we've taken a lot of the regressivity out of our sales tax because we exempt food and medicine. Second, I think the important thing is that what the governor's talking about is a net tax reduction. And I think that, the Iowans that I've talked to when I've been out knocking on doors this summer, fall, and early winter are that, they would like to see our income taxes come down. So I think people will be receptive to that.
Because any change to income or sales tax is complicated, Speaker of the House Pat Grassley is hesitant to say much until there is further study.
I want to see what the details look like, not only how much money would be raised with the changes, but also where the rate adjustments would be on the other side too. We just need to see what those details are, and I would just, everybody take a deep breath, let's see what the details look like, and we'll talk more about that as they unfold.
The first week of any session is where the first plans are laid out for bills, resolutions, and policies. A lot tends to change as the session goes on, and on this weekly podcast, we will take you to many rooms in the state capitol as they begin to take shape. Music. One of the governor's proposals is a constitutional amendment saying access to abortion is not protected by the state constitution. Last year, a resolution with this purpose passed a committee, but it did not come to a chamber for debate. Now this resolution has already passed a subcommittee in the first week, and it's on the way to a full committee. Because it's a constitutional amendment, it has to pass this General Assembly, the next General Assembly, and then be approved by voters during an election, which means this resolution, it has a long way to go. Under the Golden Dome takes a look at some of the issues at the Statehouse, and I can't make this podcast without a lot of help. Biggest thanks goes to Iowa Public Radio Statehouse reporter Katerina Sestarik. Also on the scene is reporter Grant Gerlach. News director Michael Leland is my script editor and provides story guidance. Digital team support comes from Lindsay Moon and Matt Siren. Thanks to our talk show producers, Rick Brewer, Caitlin Harrop, Matt Alvarez, and host Ben Kiefer. Additional insights and sound comes from Radio Iowa's Kay Henderson. The entire Capitol Press pool of newspaper writers, television reporters, and bloggers are also an invaluable resource. Thanks to everybody for helping out. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast, then tell 18 of your friends to do the same wherever they like to hear podcasts. I'm John Pimple. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.